Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on Tuesday, April the 9th, 2024. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. My friend John, engineering and producing for us. 14th year now. We are into the 14th year with the radio program coming to you from the growing presence of Bustos Media here in town. Five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website and the place for 13 full years of content on the website. Pretty much every show we have done, conveniently, very easy to use, the archive at buckmastershow.com. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. When we do our telephone interviews, and we'll be doing one momentarily, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now up to Arizona State University and Dr. Dennis Hoffman, the director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University, where he is director of ASU's Office of the University Economist. His sponsored projects, his efforts there include construction and maintenance of the revenue forecasting model used by the Executive Office, Budget Office of the State of Arizona, and he's been doing that since 1982. Professor Hoffman, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. We had you on about 6 weeks ago, and you said that you would be know a lot more about the state's revenue picture when you saw some of the numbers coming in, I think, in early April, some of these sales tax receipts. How's it looking?
Well, I think the executive numbers are on track. We're going to hear from the legislature, the GLBC, again on the on Thursday to see if they've updated from January. I suspect they will because the income tax flows have been in line with our expectations. They're not higher than last year. They're lower. But not as low as the JLBC had portended in January. The sales tax is has had a fairly weak quarter in the first quarter, but we think the comparables look a little better for Q2, the April May June quarter, and we're really pretty confident of the executive numbers on TPT as well. And corporate's hanging in as well. So the numbers are not great, Bill, but they're not as bleak as the JLBC suggested in January.
How about that state income tax revenues? Those are not there for us, basically, are they?
Well, they're down as expected, but they're not as the refunds are not as massive as they were last year, and that is that's primarily the difference between the JLBC and the executive forecast. So the refunds are on track with the executive's forecast that we put together this fall.
So we don't have any budget package yet, right, out of the legislature. That's kind of been kicked in down the road a little bit, and last year was different. We had a budget package presented fairly early in the session. I can't recall in my 36 years here in Arizona ever seeing that before, but this seems like we're now more into a traditional trajectory. Would you kind of agree with that?
I would agree with that. The way this will unfold now is JLBC will come out with numbers. If they continue to differ with the executive, there'll be some arm wrestling over who is correct and, you know, where we go from here. And once they settle on revenue numbers, then the haggling over what, you know, what can be spent will take place.
And there'll be probably a little bit tighter budget, certainly, than last year. Do you foresee that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not going to be everybody gets a car like last year. everybody gets $10 million to with whatever they want. So it's going to be it's going to be much tighter this year, Bill. Absolutely.
How do you, looking at this this first quarter, we have completed now the first 3 months of the year. How are you feeling about the Arizona economy, Dennis Hoffman?
Well, I think that the Arizona economy is doing okay. The challenge with revenues is largely driven by the tax cuts and rebates and tax cuts and, you know, just redefining what the tax base is. And when that is done, it's always, you know, it's narrower and smaller than what it was prior. That's just the nature of the Arizona legislature. And so so revenues really have struggled most recently because we redefined how much of the state's income and, you know, employment income and capital gains are going to show up in the tax coffers. And so those most of the state's economy is hitting on pretty much all cylinders, with the exception of our real estate and housing sector, which is struggling, quite naturally struggling, because interest rates are very high and affordability is low, and it's a challenge. People are not selling houses and moving up the way they would normally because they're locked into low interest rates. The average interest rate for somebody that holds a mortgage right now is in the upper threes. And if you move, you got to get rid of that mortgage and lock into a new one that's around seven. And so that makes a lot of folks hesitant, of course, Bill.
Yeah, we had some headlines this week about more chip building activity.
Fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I want to get your take on that. Could you share with our listeners the significance of this, Professor Hoffman?
Well, it's we just had a number of national reporters asking questions about this bill. It's a $65 billion capital injection.
Wow.
In the country, and this is in Northwest Phoenix. And so the West Valley is, you know, there's some rebranding and relabeling, trying to, you know, it's the West, the West Silicon Valley here in the West Side, which is really fantastic for Phoenix Metro, because the, historically the West Side has been where moderate and lower income people have been able to live, and then they commute to the east side to work. And what this is really changing the whole landscape on the west side, not just because of the massive TSMC plant, it's a host of vendors, an array of vendors, suppliers for this particular plant are opening up shop there as well. So some of this network of suppliers is coming to the states as a result of the CHIPS Act and putting up shop. And of course, Intel not wanting to be outdone is expanding as well up here. So if you follow the history, Motorola made the big investment in the late 40s here in Phoenix Metro when they moved their research division from Schaumburg, Illinois to Phoenix Metro. And it kind of topped out in the 60s and 70s and was on the decline. Manufacturing, especially semiconductor manufacturing, was on the decline in the state and on the decline for decades. And this is really turned around in recent years. First of all, Intel started to expand. And, you know, they're building facilities, Bill. Both these outfits are building manufacturing facilities where not just their chips are being manufactured, but they're going to be the host manufacturer for even other chips to be manufactured here. So
wow,
it is a huge boom for the state of Arizona. All three universities are going to supply the workforce you know, for these facilities and for the R&D that drives these facilities. So look to, you know, having you and U of A professors engaged, NAU professors engaged, and of course, we're going to be right here at the table. ASU is all over this. President Crow has been actively involved in this transition.
Well, it's huge. I'm glad you could kind of articulate for our listeners how big a deal it is. And if we think of Chandler in that area as kind of the east side book, it's really bookending a tremendous amount of the high-tech chip activity.
It is. It absolutely is. And it's just reinvigorating the entire West Valley, not just the Phoenix Metro, but, you know, just converting. I saw a rendering of all the manufacturing and industrial facilities going up in the West Valley, and it is just amazing how you know how this is going. We've got our challenges, and it's workforce, it's energy. Energy is a big challenge. We have to figure out how to power this state, and that involves Tucson and Phoenix. You know, I speak with people from TEP and SRP and APS, and you know, with all of the movement of companies, including things like data centers. You know, data centers don't employ that many people, but they're vital to operating the cloud. The data centers are the cloud.
Yeah.
I was amused the other day, Bill. Somebody said, well, we don't need these data centers. We ought to be putting data in the cloud. They are the cloud.
They are the cloud. Yep. We're going to have to leave it right there, Professor Hoffman. But thank you very much for kind of giving us your view on this really huge economic story. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Bill. My best to everybody in Tucson.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Dennis Hoffman, professor, economics professor at Arizona State University. All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, open right now for lunch. You can have a beer with your lunch. In fact, you can have a glass of wine with your lunch. You can do a mimosa at breakfast, which is orange juice and champagne, because they now have that added enhancement. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They are at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Shelley Fishman's next. Ooh, he gives me a thumbs down after all that enthusiastic news about the Arizona economy not looking so great on the Wall Street. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And here he is, Mr. Shelly Fishman. Shell, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, and it's
wonderful to hear from Professor Hoffman. Sounds like Phoenix in the Valley of the Sun has really hit the big one. The big jackpot is becoming now like the center. Will become the center for chip making in the United in North America.
One of the North American centers. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And what I'd like to hear more from him about is how many people are going to be employed, not only during construction but also during ongoing activities. His remarks about the requirement for power to power these data centers rings a bell with me. The last corporation I worked for, I managed a data center corporation internationally. And, you know, when we decided we were going to build a data center someplace, either in the States or overseas, one of the first things we'd do would be to meet with the power company and tell them what our power requirements were per square foot. And they'd look at us and gasp. They could not believe that we would need that much power per square foot just to power these racks of essentially storage devices and routers, and to cool that equipment is huge. Then, of course, we'd put in some sort of gas or backup power facility, which would be some of the largest generators, you know, in the state, just to in case the commercial power went out.
Well, you can just imagine what kind of power requirements, and I presumably these companies have looked at Arizona, and we do have one of the few nuclear power plants north of Phoenix. So, I mean, they feel they're obviously going to have the power because they've got to have it.
They've got to have it. Our grid nationally is suffering from the lack of the ability to produce the kind of power we need going into, you know, the AI generation, if you will, and the amounts of power that are required to run these data centers is just huge. You know, everybody says, well, you know, the internet is a cloud. Yeah, it's a cloud, but it resides on land.
Yeah, it's terrestrial.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, and I wish I really, that question, will I ask Dr. Hoffman the next time his ballpark on how many jobs. I'm sure it's a lot of jobs for the Valley of the Sun, but you mentioned AI just a moment ago. I'm wondering about artificial intelligence and how many jobs that will replace, how many current jobs that's going to replace.
I think you're absolutely right. There is going to be a replacement of people by robots, by automation that has been going on for a long time. The overall effect of AI in speeding up that process is not really known right now. What we also don't know is how many new jobs that technology will create. So it is a source of uncertainty, and you know how uncertainty affects markets. I'm reminded of the letter that Jamie Dimon sent to his J.P. Morgan Chase stockholders just this past week, in which he, you know, scratched his head and said, you know, we got some things that are really troublesome, and one of them is the continuing uncertainty about inflation. The other is the world crises that are going on that are, you know, creating more uncertainty in the world, you know, like in Ukraine and the Middle East, than we've had since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked about AI. When you put that all together, there were some flashing red lights, and of course the market is reacting to those.
And tomorrow's a big one, the inflation report.
Well, we'll see that tomorrow. We saw a great employment report on Friday, and the market reacted well to that until they thought about it for a while. And then Mr. Powell, of course, had to comment, and that dampened down enthusiasm. We were pretty sure that we were going to get three interest rate cuts this year. We're still pretty sure that they'll come this year, but maybe not in June.
Boy, it sure would help, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, if you're Jamie Dimon and you run a bank, you know, you want to get some interest rate cuts to be able to stimulate the growth in product sales that are determinative by interest rate sensitive products like mortgages or car loans. So, I can understand why Mr. Dimon would be so prone to want to comment on that. When Dr. Hoffman was talking, he was talking about, if you've got an existing mortgage, you're at 3%. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about buying a new house, you kind of say, well, do I really want to go to a 7% mortgage? Maybe I'll start off with a flexible mortgage and then buy a 30-year.
It's safe to say it's delayed a lot of people from thinking about maybe moving up or whatever they want to do with
their
housing.
Right, and so certain very specific segments of the economy have been impacted and slowed down by these high interest rates.
We keep hearing about the president's plan to raise taxes on the very rich, and it's going to be, I think, a campaign issue.
It is.
Details?
Well, there are very few. I mean, you know, the president has been talking about, well, nobody under $400,000 is going to be affected by this. And then he's talking about only people with, you know, billions of dollars of assets are going to be affected. But when you look for specifics, you really get, blank stares. And the reason is in order to, for instance, implement a 25% minimum tax on growth in your portfolio, the first thing is you have to know what that portfolio is. The second thing is you have to figure out a way that if it goes up one year and goes down the next, are you going to rebate some of that that taxation? So the big variable here is that people who have millions and millions or billions of dollars do not have a 1040. They do not have a W-2. They don't get salaried, or if they do, it's a very small portion of what their income is. Their real wealth is in investments.
Mm-hmm.
And that wealth, even though it may increase dramatically on paper, until they actually convert that into cash or sell it and buy something else, it's not taxed. What's more, if they take that wealth, don't really touch most of it at all, and then will it to beneficiaries, the beneficiary inherits that substance, that asset or set of assets at the price that asset was when it got transferred by the deceased. So the government is in reality wiping its hands or sacrificing the taxation on the growth of that asset as long as it was in, well, as long as it remains as that kind of asset. And it's not taxed when it's passed by a deceased person. So there's huge amounts of revenue that are potentially there. The Biden administration is saying, you know, we could really help our deficit problem and some of the things we need to do if we could get our hands on some of that growth. It just ain't as easy as saying, yeah, we're going to, you know, set a 25% minimum tax. A lot of details, and the devil in this case is in those details.
Mm. You will be taking your show on the road.
I will.
That's going to be very exciting. You're going to be over in Europe. You're going to Istanbul.
We start off in Istanbul, and then we take a cruise around Greece and up the Adriatic, wind up about 15 days later in Venice. We'll stay a week in Venice and then rent a car and tool around the area north and east of Venice called the Veneto, cities like Padua and others in that area. Looking forward to it, looking forward once again to, you know, just the excitement of being places I haven't been either ever or in a long time. And Istanbul is one of the places I've never been. It's a gorgeous city, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's one of the places you could cross a bridge, and you can go from Europe to Asia.
Yes. I've traveled so much that finding something that is as exciting as this is kind of new for me. So I'm really looking forward to it. And of course, we will be there, and we will do 5 shows.
Yes,
via your call-in line.
Wonderful.
Via the live line, and it'll be, you know, late at night there, but you know, providing that perspective is fun.
It is. All right, Shelley Fishman, have a very wonderful trip. Safe travels to you, okay? All right, we'll take a break right here. And speaking of travel, Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen's coming up from Bon Voyage Travel right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's time to talk travel for our insider travel talk right here on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency. Since 1976, the Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell. There's a Green Valley office and an office in Oro Valley. BVTravel.com, their website, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Let's welcome now Ryan Hansen to the program. Rhino, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. Glad to be on.
Well, I've got probably a handful of friends that decided, and a lot of them planned over a year in advance, I want to see this solar eclipse, and I've gotten reports from all of them, and nobody was disappointed. One friend was in Oklahoma, another one in Texas, and everybody's reporting we had the trip of a lifetime. I am very envious.
Yeah, what's amazing is we got to see a little bit of it here, right, in Tucson. I'm sure a lot of your coworkers and friends here in town stepped outside for a few minutes and saw a little bit of the coverage. But for that path of totality, what's interesting in the world of travel, people were planning for this, like you said, a year or more in advance, maybe even as far back as 2017, which was the last total eclipse. And we found it interesting, Bill, the number of people flying to destinations that were in that path was an unbelievable volume of traffic at the domestic airports, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Fort Worth, Houston, Indianapolis, to name a few, saw an incredible increase in the volume of air travel from Sunday into Monday for people to want to see this global event. And it expanded beyond just that. It was amazing what the hotel revenue. How about this, Bill, in Evansville, Indiana, right? Not exactly a hub of vacation travel for folks. No offense to Evansville by any means, but it emerged as a front runner. The inventory of hotels over a two-day span, Sunday and Monday, expected to increase by fivefold.
Oh, my goodness.
Increasing. Their pricing was up almost 50% year over year on the same dates. So clearly, global events like the total solar eclipse have absolutely helped, you know, swell business in hotels and airlines. It's amazing what the world will do and what people will do to travel to see global events.
And the next one, an international trip that some people are already talking about, is coming up the last week of August in 2026. And starting the total eclipse will start in Iceland, and it will include the capital city of Reykjavik, and it will move then on down to a little portion of Portugal and Spain. So for those folks thinking, you know, I've always wanted to go to Iceland, might want to mark your calendar for the end of August 2026.
And Reykjavik is not exactly a bustling city full of tons of hotel options.
No.
It services cruise passengers. It services the new tourism boom that we've seen over the last handful of years. But Bill, you and I both know, and I will be in Iceland coming up myself this summer. And even my own personal plans, I have found you better book your travel if you're wanting to get to Iceland this summer for anything, let alone the eclipse opportunity. You better book that early. There's not a lot of inventory in regards to hotels in Reykjavik.
Let's talk a little bit about travel hotspots, since we brought up Iceland. And during our presentation at the very popular travel show put on by Bon Voyage Travel the first Sunday in March, you and I talked about getting to Europe maybe through the back door, places like maybe going, starting your trip in Iceland or maybe in Ireland, or thinking of places that are not your usual places, maybe Scandinavia, kind of the travel hotspots that are emerging.
I love that you're talking about somewhat of the back door or the side door for these incredibly popular destinations. And nothing has changed, Bill. Year after year, Italy continues to be the hottest destination. The Mediterranean in general continues to be the hottest. And as you and I both know, it was also temperature hot last year, like scorching temperatures in the months of June and July. So what are some other alternatives? If you love, and you mentioned it, if you love Europe, go north. Think about Iceland. Think about Ireland. Look into Scandinavia. Denmark and Sweden and Finland are tremendous destinations right now. You might even get a chance to get up into Norway to see the Northern Lights. Summertime is not the best time for Northern Lights. You'd want to do that September to April. But if you're thinking Europe, think off-season. That's another idea. Don't just go between May and September to these very, very popular destinations. Go north if you're wanting to do it during the summer, and go north during the summer months because the temperatures are absolutely reasonable. Got some other ideas for you, Bill. If you love Paris and you love the Parisian architecture, you love the food, you need to think about Buenos Aires. It is truly the Paris of South America. And there's a number of reasons why. There is a definite connection to the architecture when you're getting down into Buenos Aires. There's an incredible wine scene in Argentina as well that may be a little bit under the radar. So if you're going to Paris and thinking French wines, something different, go to Paris. There's lots of different avenues in regards to destinations. I'll give you a couple of more here, Bill. How about Japan is off the charts?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly off of the radar for a number of years during COVID. Slower to return to tourism travel, a little bit later in the game in regards to opening their doors and their borders to North Americans in particular. So Japan is incredible. It's off the charts. But I would recommend South Korea. You might want to think of South Korea as an alternative, primarily because the cuisine is wonderful there, very similar to the Japanese cuisine. It's incredible value as well. South Korea, not as expensive as heading into Tokyo and Kyoto and the other popular hot spots of Japan. But if you're looking for that Asian K-pop, K culture that is now emerging, a wonderful alternative to Japan is South Korea.
I just had a friend returning. He and his wife returned from Norway in the Arctic Circle. They did a two-week cruise, and this was all about, it was centered about the Northern Lights, and they were lucky enough, fortunate, that they saw the lights on three different nights, and my friend wrote me this morning saying it was a trip of a lifetime. That's the kind of trips that you and your team want people to fulfill and have that experience.
Now, there's no doubt the enrichment, the value, the memories, the experiences that travel brings. You and I both share this thread and trait that we want to continue to be curious travelers, explorers, if you will, to find that next great dish somewhere. And we can talk about cuisine, that next great architectural location. And sometimes it's just what the world has to offer, and you hit it. The Northern Lights probably should be on your bucket list if it isn't already, to see that phenomenon. And you can see it in Alaska, you can see it in Canada, but there's nothing like maybe heading to the upper reaches of Norway inside the Arctic Circle. Maybe you take a cruise up there, that way you get out on the open water in the Arctic Circle. I'll be doing that, Bill. We'll talk about that next month when I'm hosting your show and you're traveling out of town. I'll be speaking and touching on in depth my trip that will embark in Reykjavik, and it's a Reykjavik round trip. So I'll hit a couple of spots in Iceland, but it is intensive into Greenland, and we will be sailing way, way, way north. I'll give you the specific latitudes on the May call when we're on in May hosting for you. But there's destinations that are beyond the imagination, and that's one spot. I'll circle back, Bill, before we finish out this segment to, if you love Italy and you've never been to Europe and you're thinking Italy has to be my place, Venice can be overcrowded right now. Let's just be real. And I want people to understand you can go, but get your expectations ready for a crowded, potentially pricey region if you want to get to Venice. You might want to shift your attention to Slovenia or Romania. That incredible hiking, rafting, biking. The food is wonderful. The people are great, but you get the same architectural style of Italy if you shift just a little bit of your geography and destination to maybe Romania or Slovenia.
And Romania is used quite often as in movies. Movie makers use Romania as, and it can look very much like, it can look like Rome, it can look like Prague, it can look like a lot of places. And here's the good news about Romania. It is a bargain. It is the bargain basement place in Europe. Now, when I say bargain basement, that does not mean it doesn't have incredible scenery. It does.
It does. Yeah, the fantastic countryside of Romania and Transylvania in particular. You get the rich culture, you get the history, you get all the castles that you would expect in Middle Europe and Lower Europe there. It's a great opportunity for active adventures as well. I guess what we keep telling people every time I'm on with you, Bill, is there is a destination for everyone.
Yeah.
Don't just think about the hot spots.
Yep.
Talk to us at Bon Voyage and we'll get you somewhere where maybe there's less crowds.
All right, Ryan, when we continue segment two of Travel Talk, we're going to talk about folks who love to dine, love to eat, culinary travel. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Great time of year to go to the land of enchantment. Our neighbor, New Mexico. Check out Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, before you make the about 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. And my goodness, so many great outdoor activities, hiking in the very green Gila National Wilderness after a lovely winter and early spring. Perfect time of year to make that road trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And we continue to talk travel with our travel contributor, Mr. Ryan Hansen, Ryan of Bon Voyage Travel. And Ryan will be on Thursday, May the 16th, will be hosting a full hour program for me right here on the Buckmaster Show. And I'll be checking in with Ryan from the Atlantic Island of Bermuda, which I am looking forward to. Going to be a great trip. So, Ryan, many people travel not only to see new things, but they travel for the cuisine. They're foodies.
Everybody you talk to, if you when they come off of a trip, right, they're going to tell you primarily how the trip was and if they had a great time or not. But I guarantee you there will be some story about a local dish that they tried, a meal that they never thought they would eat, or something that connected them to the people, right? That's what food does. It's amazing how culinary heritage connects people. It really is one of the best ways to get to know, like, the true essence of the destination that you've descended into. And you can kind of become part of the community by breaking bread, if you will, Bill, over a table with somebody that's local there. You're at least dining and sampling cuisines that you wouldn't normally eat at home. And I'll tell you, Bill, it is a rule of my family. And we, you know this, we travel with our kids. They've been traveling internationally since they were 6 and 3 years old. I think now they'll be 18 and 15 this summer. So I think now they'll be hitting their 21st and 22nd country.
Wow.
So they're on their way to experiencing the world, and we always find great food. And one of the rules, like I was saying, we have one rule of travel. We cannot eat at a restaurant when we travel if that restaurant can be found at home.
Ah.
And so maybe the style of food could be found at home, but not that particular restaurant in the United States. So we are not eating fast food. We're not going to any of those burger joints when we're overseas or in a new destination. We want the under-the-radar local places that can really tie you to communities. I know you love that as well.
I do, Ryan. And are there particular cruise lines that specialize in that it really would appeal to the foodie?
Yeah, there's one in particular that truly their pillar, their core essence of who they are is the finest cuisine at sea is the tagline for one of our favorites, Oceana Cruises. And what makes them the finest cuisine at sea? I will give you a couple things. They source the highest quality of foods, from produce to cuts of beef to fresh fish. Oceana spends more than any other cruise line per person on their sourcing of their food. How about this stat, Bill? For every 10 passengers on their ship, there's one chef.
Wow.
10 passengers, one chef. That's a commitment to providing exemplary food from the start of your day with the breakfast. They have wonderful bakeries where fresh baked goods are made on board right then and there, all the way through in and out the day at their wonderful coffee bar, baristas, where you can get fresh pressed coffee, into the evening where they have specialty dining restaurants. And you and I know this, but some of your listeners may not. On many cruise lines, you have to pay an additional charge to dine at the best restaurant on ship, not with Oceana. They have specialty Italian, Asian fusion, a steakhouse, and then just a general wonderful American fare restaurant. You don't pay extra. It's all included in your cruise fare. They recognize food is truly a part of your cruise experience. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite dishes on land or on sea, it's absolutely on sea, it might be one of my favorite dishes I've ever had anywhere, is the miso glazed sea bass that you can have in Red Ginger, the restaurant, on an Oceania cruise ship. It is wrapped in seaweed. It's baked beautifully. It comes out. It just melts, truly melts in your mouth. I'm actually getting hungry right now as we speak. Maybe maybe we shouldn't have this call during lunch, Bill.
No, I was
thinking of that miso glazed sea bass.
Oh, man, that's making me so hungry. Did they roll out a new brand or some new branding at Oceania recently?
They've rolled out a new ship. I was on their ship, the Vista, and they've got another ship coming out, Allura, and they are really leaning into this the concept that food is a part of your travel. And so that Finest Cuisine at Sea really is their primary campaign. And if you're a foodie, if you want to experience the cooking side of food as well, they have culinary kitchen experiences where they get you behind the oven. They get you with a skillet in hand, and wherever destination you're located, they will roll out cooking classes with the food and fare of the destination that you're in. And I have cooked paella and sangria when I've been in Barcelona on one of these cruise experiences. So you're off the coast of Spain, you're in there cooking up paella just as they would make on land. It's a truly all-encompassing experience.
You know, I wanted to circle back. We were talking about destinations, kind of new travel hotspots. You had mentioned Argentina, and also wanted to say that a few years ago we did a great trip to Argentina and Chile, two great wine areas, and then we combined that with Patagonia. And another place on my bucket list was the wines of New Zealand.
Amazing, right? You wouldn't necessarily, at least I wouldn't, I'm not a wine connoisseur, not a sommelier by any means, but wine lovers truly probably know that New Zealand should be at the top of your list for an experiential winery visits and tours. They've got amazing wines. Those cities in New Zealand also give you kind of a European feel because of that connection to the Commonwealth of the UK, so it's easy to assimilate into New Zealand. So you've got wine, you've got easy assimilation, and then how about the landscape? You were talking earlier about movie sets and destination spots to film movies. Game of Thrones, Star Wars, lots of incredible backdrops have been filmed right there in New Zealand. So you've got an amazing destination that, while yes, it's not exactly close, but it's worth your while to head to Australia, New Zealand from the West Coast here.
And I'm a big proponent of breaking up the trip on the way down or the way back or maybe both. And an easy way to do it, if you've always wanted to see French Polynesia, Tahiti, a natural stop on the way to Auckland, New Zealand. Break up the trip a few days in Tahiti, get you really going.
I'll get you very relaxed if you do it one way or the other. You can get down there in Tahiti, and you and I have talked about this, truly the Hawaii of 50 years ago, right?
Yep.
Still not overrun. We talked earlier about destinations that are hot, but that can also lead to crowded areas that maybe don't get you too relaxed if you're in and amongst a lot of people that aren't your family or friends. Tahiti's the opposite of that. It still is a remote destination. The island of Bora Bora, Moorea, you really can get away from it all. And what a better way to do it is to see it on your way to or from Australia, New Zealand.
All right, Ryan, coming up on Thursday, May 16th, a full hour of travel. What are some of the highlights? What are you planning, sir?
One of the highlights will be, as mentioned earlier, we're sailing on Regent Seven Seas Splendor, one of their newest ships, only 3 years old. My family trip. So we'll be highlighting the Regent Seven Seas experience in Iceland and Greenland. And then I'll also be talking a little bit more in depth on the all-inclusive nature of Mexico and the Caribbean, which you and I have touched on previously. But for you non-cruisers out there, there is something for you on May 16th to lean in and listen to of the value of an all-inclusive experience in Mexico or the Caribbean.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Ryan, thank you very much. And for folks that want more about perhaps culinary dining at sea on Oceania and all the other cruises, bvtravel.com. That's the place, right, sir?
That is. Come give us a call. We love talking travel just like you and I do once a month, Bill. Our advisors, they really put themselves on the trip. They really feel like if they can plan a vacation that they would love, our clients would love it as well.
There you go. Thank you, Rhino. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Take care.
All right. On behalf of Mr. Ryan Hansen and John Engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wrapping up our Tuesday edition on April the 9th. Hope everybody is well and have a great day.